Welcome to the Liberty Free to Be podcast. I've had the pleasure of connecting with women from all over the world, and I'm constantly left feeling uplifted by their stories, their attitude and zest for life. Whenever I'm having a wobble, they've been a great source of encouragement. So I wanted to create a space to not only share their stories and amplify women over 40's voices, but also share my own passion for living a fulfilled life with freedom. Join me as I share a fortnightly dose of midlife motivation, where you get to hear from some amazing people who are leaving a trail of inspiration along the way, breaking down midlife stereotypical barriers, and proving it's never too late to find new passion and purpose. Think of it as your one-stop shop full of real stories you can relate to. Lifestyle inspiration, practical resources, from health and wealth, mindset to menopause, reinvention to rebellion. No subject is off limits. Living a life of liberty, free to be, whatever we want to be in midlife and beyond. Today, I am revisiting a guest, which I don't often do, but this particular guest has become a really good friend of mine, and I can't wait to catch up with her to find out what she's been up to since 2020 when we first spoke to her on episode 57. So what can I tell you about Sophie Garner? She is a highly experienced singer, performer, educator, running the Confidence to Choir Coaches, bringing people together for a real sense of community, building and empowering confidence through music and singing and choirs. And I love what she does. I actually spent the weekend with her last year at Womanifest, where I got to see her in action, where she basically built a choir for the day and they performed live. So we've got something exciting to share at the end. So make sure you listen to the whole episode. But I can't wait to find out more of what Sophie's been up to since we last talked to her in 2020. So nice to see you. How are you doing?
Hello, my friend and colleague.
Yes. Oh, we're
great.
As I said in the introduction, this is the second time round, but we have got a lot to catch up on. You have been a very busy bee, and I can't wait to hear what you've
been up to.
Yeah, a lot's happened since before. I mean, you came on during lockdown, really. So, you know, it's been a really interesting.
Oh, my goodness. And that's a lifetime, isn't it? And, you know, we've both had an extremely exciting start, I think, 2024.
Yeah, definitely. We have got lots to share, which is same later on in the conversation. But for people that haven't listened to the last episode, I'm going to share the link so you can catch up. But if they haven't, how do you kind of introduce yourself to people? Tell us a little bit about your backstory, because obviously, singing coach, amazing mentor, now published author. But how do you kind of summarise what you've been doing?
My strapline is I change people's lives through singing and songwriting and music. And, you know, I'm a great believer in you need to sell yourself to people quickly because people want the result. They're like, I don't care what you're going to do. How am I going to get there? And so when I'm at networking events or I'm somewhere where somebody introduces, you know, and the typical thing at any party is, so what do you do? Nobody says, you know, what bra size are you? Or what time do you go to sleep? What's your favourite food? Is what do you do? We're all kind of observed about who we are by what we do. And, you know, when you think about that, that's really interesting because for some people, their work is not the whole of their life. I mean, for me, it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, so when I meet people, I say that because instantly they go, oh, you know, instantly you've told them, right, I'm in the music business and I'm changing lives. How do you do that? And then that opens up the narrative, really, Rachel, to running choirs, working with brain injury, stroke, dementia, working with sexually abused teenagers, self-harming teenagers, special education needs in schools, private singing. I go into corporate environments and do workshops, and that's really interesting because they don't often know who I am. And I work with an amazing coach called Kate, and she brings me in and she introduces me as part of the team, and then she'll go, and Sophie's a speaker, but she's actually a singing coach, and you're all going to be singing, and you see all of these executives. I mean, she brings me into work with really, I'm not going to say the companies because, you know, I don't want to say anything, but top executives in some of the biggest companies. And it's really interesting because it's a level playing field. All of a sudden, there's no hierarchy because singing is singing. when it's amateur and there's no judgment. And so amazing things happen and there's tears. You know, I've watched grown men on workshops cry because there's been something significant in the lyrics and they suddenly go, I really connect with that song. So it's powerful stuff. And the songwriting, I mean, that just takes that to another level because you're literally, I will take people and get them to form a song around their own narrative, their own words, and then getting them to sing that, Rachel, is just like, whoa, because they're not borrowing, they're not doing a version of somebody's, you know, somebody famous, their song. It's theirs, they own it. So there's no comparison. There's no like, oh, you know, I can't sing like Adele. It's their song. So it's a game changer. And especially for, I mean, if I've worked with women that have had, you know, abuse come out of really horrendous relationships, or women that have worked, you know, come out of alcoholic periods of their lives, or say, for instance, people with brain injury, and getting them to create a song allows them a space to offload, but in a healthy way, not in an angry way. And then it's almost like journaling. Songwriting becomes then a therapeutic exercise, which is so healthy.
That's really powerful. And we've all, I'm sure everybody listening now, has been singing in the shower and come out of that shower feeling so much better. And also, I think, you know, we sing when we're younger. We do choirs at school. I love singing. I actually wrote a song about snowdrops when I was about 8. So, three, not quite a little long.
You still got it?
No, I haven't, no. No, but my sister likes to remind me about it every time. It's this time of year and we see snowdrops.
I was going to say, when I come to stay at your house, I was going to say, I'll do a little route around to find this poem.
No, it's nowhere to be found. We lose it, don't we? We do it when we're younger, and quite often we lose the things that bring us joy, the creative things that are just free our souls, if you like.
Yeah, because singing is play, dancing is play, and we do it as kids with our friends. We're completely selfless. We don't yet understand what it is to have an ego, to be self-aware. Kids are not self-aware, and it's just gorgeous watching kids in the playground or in a park just skipping. And you think, God, it's all going to be gone soon, because you're suddenly going to become aware of how loud you are, how slim you are, how tall you are, what you're wearing. And then all of that goes, doesn't it? And it's that ability to play, and adults stop playing. So when I run a choir, having all those people, for want of a better word, with the gloves off, because they all know why they're there, they're all leaving their crap at the door, whatever it is. And some people in the choir have got cancer, some have come out of marriages, some have lost people, some have moved to the area. We've had a real influx of, I just moved to the area, I want to meet people.
Yeah.
And there's something really in that. Joining a choir is like, almost becomes equally as important as kind of making friends. And
it's instant community, isn't it? It's an instant community.
Community choir, exactly. Yeah. And I think people really misunderstand the power of that word, community choir, and that you're all coming for an hour and a half to not talk about what's going on outside, just be in the moment. And I call it a form of active mindfulness, because for people that can't be mindful, Rachel, you know, and everyone struggles to be mindful, because it's let the thoughts come in, let them pass.
Yeah.
And there's only, for some people, that's really hard, and they either fall asleep or they go, I'm now thinking about something else. And then yeah. And if they're not in a class where somebody is then going to bring your mind back and you're like, right, okay, or you're listening to, you know, a podcast, you've either fallen asleep or you've gone, I'm bored, I can't sit there. And singing is an active form of mindfulness, because you can't be on this.
Yes.
You can't be reading. You can't be looking out the window. You've got to look at me, and you're present with this amazing group of people that become like the nucleus. So you're singing a harmony with the people next to you, and the hour and a half's just gone, and people go, oh my God, I feel so good. You're literally having a burst of serotonin and endorphins. The other great thing about singing is it is a pain reducer, which is incredible. So I've got osteoarthritis in my right hip. When I'm singing and teaching, Rachel, I am pain-free. The minute I get back, I'm aware of it again. So it's
actually hard. I mean, is that just because it's like an endorphin release?
Because serotonin endorphin is a natural pain reliever, because it's a feel-good hormone. So it reduces inflammation in the body, which is a powerful thing. It lowers blood pressure. It creates new synapse connections in the brain. So there's so much more to just, you know, happy clap, jazz hands. Yes. And hearts, when you're in a choir, everybody's heart rate syncs up together. I mean, if that isn't love,
yes,
in, you know, singing form, isn't that beautiful? Because you're all breathing, yes, at the same time. You're taking in more oxygen, and we don't use half of what our lungs have when we're talking and breathing, but singing is different to talking. So we're just bursting our brain with oxygen and just, you know, saturating our blood cells with all of this healthy oxygen. So it's a
I love singing, always have done. What brilliant at it, but I love it and I enjoy it. But I've also got friends that refuse to join in the New Year's Eve for karaoke, which for me is my highlight of my end of the year, because they say they can't sing. Now, do you think everybody can sing with coaching?
Now, this is really interesting. So it's called a musea. So when I hate the word tone deaf, and unfortunately people like Simon Cowell have really made that a loaded word, you know, and how many people have, I mean, I've been a vocal coach of The Voice, which is an amazing program to be a part of, and we treat people very respectfully. I've had students that have had very negative experiences with things like X Factor, and, you know, People Walk On, and some people in the early days of that program were set up, you know, deliberately brought on, and it's, you can't sing, you're tone deaf. And it's such a negative word. So tone deaf, in its scientific name, is amusia. And they believe that 4% of the world population has amusia. However, I had a conversation with a woman on the train recently. This is such a bizarre story. I was on the train going into London to do a workshop with the executive coach Kate I talked about. And being a singer and working with voices all the time, I managed to like pinpoint this woman sitting with a group of people, and I quickly sussed out, she's obviously been on the train a long time. She's probably come, I don't know where from, but it was coming into Euston, and she was a singing teacher. And I'm really trying to tune out all the other voices. And I wanted to get off the train. The woman next to me, I was like, I need to get out because I need to go and introduce myself to this woman. I know she's going to know the same people as me anyway. I said to the girl next to me, I need to get out. And I went up to her and I went, who here is the singing coach? And she went, me. I went, I'm really sorry to tell you this. I've been listening into your conversation and pinpointing your voice. I went, my name's Sophie Garner. I'm also a vocal coach. I think we might know the same people. I went, do you know Mark Mayne? She went, yes, of course I know Mark. So the table of people are sitting there like, well, they're obviously now going to go into like vocal talk. And I went, can I just say thank you to you? Because I said, you just talked about being tone deaf. And I went, I was so excited sitting in my chair, just going, yes, 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 yes. And she said, what she said was to these group of people that were saying, can anyone sing? You know, at which point I'm like, really want to hear what she's going to say. It's not really. And it's frequencies. Everything has a frequency. You, me, this couch. And I've learned so much more about frequencies since training to be a sound healer.
Of course, yeah.
We all have a frequency, plant, etc. And when we tune into people's frequencies and energy, you know, we all go around and go, I've got a really bad feeling about that place, or that I'm not really getting a good vibe off that person. We need to listen to that because we're tuning into a frequency that's not, it's jarring with us. So she said to me, I believe that everyone can sing. It's just that they're hearing a frequency in the sound. Because if you play a note, or if I said to you, Rachel, right, we're just going to both go, there's different frequencies in what I'm singing, just as there is in the sound healing bowl. And that person might be hearing a frequency which isn't the overall sound of the note. And I've worked with people where they've literally arrived. I've had like an executive walk in here, and someone that, you know, if she was in the boardroom, Rachel, you'd go, well, I bet she's super powerful. And she stood here in front of the piano just behind this screen. And I said, right, we're going to just start. I'm just going to play middle C. And she burst into tears. And I was stunned because her energy was so formidable when she walked in the room. And I tell this story because it's like so extreme. And I said, what's going on? And she went, I was told at school, and this is the narrative that plays out with 99.9% of people. You mentioned it. I was told at school in front of the entire class, I couldn't join the choir because I couldn't sing. A child doesn't hear I can't sing. A child hears, I'm no good. I'm useless. I need to be eradicated. I'm rubbish. It's a loaded, potent word. And so we worked through this, and eventually she was able to get over it and sing. And, you know, my challenge, and I love the challenge, is when someone walks in here and says, I really want to learn to sing, but I was told, da, 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 da. I work with them. I had another woman, she came and she went, nobody knows I'm here. I went, no one. She went, no. She said, not even my husband. I went, why? I went, because you're going to come here every week, aren't you? And he's going to start to think you're having an affair because you're coming here at the same time. He said, well, he's part of the problem. And I went, what do you mean? She said, when I told him I wanted singing lessons, he said, well, you better tell her to seal up the windows in her house because you can't sing. And I was so angry. Anyway, cut a long story short, she's no longer with that man.
Well, I hope she's still singing loudly.
Yeah, she is. So, you know, singing, it's sexual as well. You know, it's our, it's how we show ourselves to the world. It's when you say to somebody that, it really, I think, is akin to standing there in the nude and someone going, oh my God, look at the state of you, because you can't change your voice or your laugh. People criticize my laugh because it's quite high and squeaky, but it's really fun. And I got my laugh, the bit that's now high, from a vocal operation. I love my laugh, and we can't change that, can we? It's how we express ourselves. I mean, you know, without sort of going into this too deeply, but when we make love, we express our voices, and we can't, you know, stop how that expresses. It's natural. So it's our birthright to sing. We made primal sounds before we spoke, you know, as Homo sapiens. So to stop that in a person is wrong. It's our birthright.
And I've seen the magic that you created. You know, Sophie and I shared a tent, a glamping tent last year at Womanly Fest, which was great.
It's been a bed, actually, right?
An air mattress.
Oh, it's so bloody.
Oh, we're still friends, so that's a good sign.
I didn't snore, I don't think. Did I?
No, if you did, I didn't notice.
That was such a great weekend.
We did, but I saw you in action. So Sophie got a group of women together that I'd never met before, and basically performed and pulled a choir together.
In an hour.
And performed live on stage in the evening. And it was just amazing, the power to see this group of people come together and learn a song and stand up there and completely own what they were doing and come together as a team. So it was it was beautiful to watch.
Thank you. Because I saw you standing there and you had my back throughout it. I knew, obviously, because it's my expert area, I knew what the end result was going to be. But some of those women stood there, and at one point, one was going to leave. And I went, don't you leave. I went, you come here for a reason. Be here, show up for yourself, because I've got you. I'm holding space for you. And, you know, they were like, but I can't sing. And I eradicate that straight away because, of course, I'm so used to hearing it.
Yeah.
It's what I hear every day with new people, and the power. And then at the end, they went, can we just sing?
Yeah.
And I just thought, yes. And now that's become like, it's now a workshop that's going to happen at this festival every single year, which is brilliant. It's growing, growing, growing.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And you are, you know, not just with the singing and the workshops and the choirs, you've been extremely busy. So you're now a published author of several books since we last spoke, but your latest one is just about to come out. And that, again, is about rekindling that connection to creativity that we might have lost along the way, isn't it? So tell us about that.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, for everybody that's watching, Rachel is actually featured in my book. She's got a lovely... And I call it, I'm telling you this now, the chapter where you're featured and a carefully chosen handful of beautiful women that I wanted to write is called With a Little Help from My Friends.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Obviously, a little nod to the Beatles there, which is one of my favourite bands. So Rachel is featured in my book. And it's lovely because that chapter with you in and the other women, you all talk about your own experience with play, and you obviously talk about it with the amazing dress up box and how now, you know, I don't want to get too much away, but, you know, Rachel talks about how she loved to dress up. And we all have that lovely dress up box. You know, we're similar ages. I'm 50 and I loved it. And it was all hand-me-downs, and I'm sure it was like
absolutely
stuff in. And we'd all dress up and it was brilliant. And you'd have that every week at primary school. It's lovely because, you know, now you've rekindled that and you talk about how now you get to redo with being a model and just owning it and making that a creative part of your life. And this is the thing that I think people miss. So my book is called Reawakening the Creative Playmaker. It's a book for women. And I really, you know, my market will be women our age because I think we often lose our sense of identity. I've got friends that have said, I feel invisible. And it seems absolutely common. I feel invisible. And, or, you know, I was in the shop, and this was 10 years ago when I was 40, and a woman, and I said, oh, you know, have you got this in the size 14? And she said, oh, you might like the stuff over there. And I thought, how dare you?
Yes.
Oh my God, I want to wear this, and I will if I want to. And so, Reawakening the Creative Playmaker, it's a real mix of things. It's a journal and a book in one. It's full color. I'm a stationery obsessive, so I've designed the book I would want to take off the shelf. So it's been quite expensive to produce. It's full color, it's thick pages, there's even things to cut out and make. There's affirmations, there's quotes, there's poems, there's exercises for songwriting, for singing, to stuff to do in nature. So it's not just about being talented, and this is what I want to break the mold of. People think creative, and you hear people, oh, I'm not very creative. You're creative the minute you wake up and go to your wardrobe and go, what am I going to wear? You're creative when you go downstairs and make a recipe from scratch. That's being creative. And I think people really misconstrue. They think it's, oh, I can't paint, I can't dance, you know, I can't craft, I can't flower arrange. And it's not that, it's finding your thing. And for some, it's singing. So I've made this book a kind of free for all where people can go through a journey, and I support them on that journey. And I talk about my own journey, and I'm quite vulnerable in the start of the book with what was going on with me and how singing and songwriting became such part of my survival, for want of a better word, at the age of 13, when life was horrendous at home and at school, and it really was my savior. And so the, you know, the power of creativity. And I think for people that aren't engaging in something that is just for them, you know, whether it's like a piece of paper and a pen just doodling, they're missing, and they may be missing what they don't know they're missing till they do it, because you literally, you're doing something for you, with you, on your own. And it's that going back to being mindful again. You know, I collect Cindy's.
I love your collection. They're fabulous.
Yeah, and I know very well what I'm doing. Hang on, I'm just going to get one. Stay there.
Yes, do.
This is Janis, after Janis Joplin. Right. They're all, you know, we all had Cindy's in the 70s, and she's kind of like one of 17. And I've got everything. And when I, you know, I don't talk and go, hello, my name's Cindy. I'm not like that. You know, that would be a bit mad. I dress them, and they've got really like cool 60s Bieber type clothes, because that's what I love to wear. And I will create dioramas with them. So she might be having a glass of wine and be out for the count. So I make them quite fun. And I created a little Instagram account called Janis and Margot Mayhem. Margot obviously being the good life, because a lot of them have got really crazy, like, crinoline outfits. And it's just, it's a space where I can get really, really creative. I've literally got 17 Cindy's. I've got the swimming pool. I've got a 70s caravan. I've got a beauty counter. I've got the car, the scooter, the house. I mean, people watching this would go, she's mental. But there are grown women.
Play. It's our ability to play and to switch off. Yeah,
it is. And there's grown women in this group. There's also some fabulous gay men who I absolutely love, and they make the best outfits. Their Cindy's are like couture. And, you know, there's people that are barristers and lawyers, and it's really creative. And I even featured in a couple of magazines with a spread on my collection, which was... it was just brilliant. And even in a really like expensive magazine called Sorbet, and they did a write-up, and it was just like, wow. And I thought, well, that's telling you something. If they wanted to do a feature, and it's, you know, it's like people that collect beautiful artisan dolls' houses,
yeah,
which have amazing like rococo furniture, you know. And so
I'm going to be honest here, I'm going to stick my hands up, this is something that I might do in the future, because I have all wanted to have a proper doll's house. I've always wanted to,
with the big wall that opens,
yes, with the lighting, with the wallpaper, you name it.
Exactly. I
have that.
Love it. So cheap to do. It's so cheap to do. So it's cathartic, you know, and I know what's going on. Part of it is reconnecting with the inner child that had a bit of a crappy, you know, some of it was crappy, some of it was lovely, but some of it was crappy. And it's just so, it's so beautiful to like have something that you get these flashes of, I get flashes of at Christmas opening up and receiving the ballet Active Cindy, and just how exciting that was, and having her doing all the movements. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So there's that, and I collect stationery, and I love losing myself, just like a child would, you know, where you go, what's the, you know, you've been out all day playing, and then mum's like, you'd be back for 5 o'clock, and you're outside, and you're on your bike, and your brother's on the chopper, because it's 1978.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're so lost in playing and making dens that you forget to come back. And that's how I feel when I'm with my Cindy's, when I'm teaching choirs, when I'm with stationery. And so the book is really about getting women to open it and go, oh my God, look at this beautiful thing with all these pages, and just immerse. And that's why I've done it. And it's my first woman's book, because the other two were, you know, for children, teaching them how to songwrite. So I'm really excited, because it's written. There's a lovely balance of writing and of exercises. And of at the back, there's these beautiful colour pages that I've put in for people to tear out, do whatever they want with.
Do you know what springs to mind for me? The word permission. It's a book like yours that gives women permission to
absolutely
do their own thing. They will be drawn to different parts of your book at different times of the day or the week. And it's giving yourself permission to be creative.
It is. And do you know what's really weird, Rachel? This is so synchronous. I nearly called it Permission to Play. How weird is that?
Yeah, it is.
How weird is that?
Yeah, because it is an area that women stop themselves from doing it, because we feel like we've had to ask permission to allow ourselves time to do the things that bring us joy.
And because for some it's seen as frivolous or a waste of time. There's this whole kind of issue around relaxing and having fun, isn't there? Like, it's taken us, you know, we should be doing that because we should be working hard, and there isn't time to do that. And it's a waste of time. And actually, being creative has been proven to help with our social cohesion, help with our mental health. Again, recreating synapses. So there is so much more to play, and I talk about that in the book and the benefits of it for our health and well-being.
I can't wait to see that out on the shelves. Let's get on to how you and I, we're both on a mission to empower women, and friends, but I've always been about stepping out of your comfort zone. And for me, my body confidence in particular has always, it's grown when I've stepped out of my comfort zone. It's not grown from being on a diet. It's not come from, you know, being a certain dress size. It's come from doing things, trying new activities, taking on new challenges, and learning more about myself that way. So when you and I got talking, we thought, what better way to reunite our communities and to create a choir for the day. And I can't wait.
I can't wait. And we got the idea, didn't we, after spending a night together in bed.
Yeah, we did. Yes, we did. I've seen what you've done with Womanly Fest and bringing those women together. I just think it's going to be the perfect way to get women to step out of the comfort zones, that are perhaps feeling a lack of confidence, that are feeling a little bit lost, that, you know, that maybe not even thought that they want to do or be enjoying the choir or singing, but it's just a day to come together to learn some songs. And, you know, at the end of the day, what are we going to do at the end of the day, Sophie? Tell them to step out.
Go for it.
And we are going to perform live. We're in a live stream on social media, so we're going to perform three songs. And I say we because I'm going to join the choir too for the day.
Absolutely.
Great. So
it's
yeah,
going to be amazing.
We're going to talk about you know my own body confidence experiences and how I've grown and the things that I've done to find where I am now. But also, you're going to talk and share about the practical reasons why it's so good for your body physically and mentally. And
absolutely.
Some tips that you could carry forward, not just in that day, but long term to help with anxiety, to help build confidence. It's something that's, these are practical, real steps that can make a big difference to how you feel.
Yeah. Posture, breathing, lowering blood pressure. It's going to be brain food for the day. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that we talked about. It's not just, right, thanks for the day then. See you, ladies. It's, you're going to have really lovely things to take into your life. And actually, you'll probably end up sharing with other people. If you've got grandkids or kids, you'll want to pass that on. And it's that cohesion. There is power in numbers. And I just, you know, I've seen it when I set up I ran the UK's first widows choir, 65 women, all widowed, coming together. There were tears, there was laughter. Yeah. It was so powerful. And I'm about to do the Cambridge widows next weekend. And there's also widowers. We've got 5 men, you know, but loss is loss. Yeah. And I just think, there'll be so many women that will probably want to come with us, Rachel, all from different ages, different walks of life, and they'll all have their own reasons for coming. But I want to say for anybody that watches me and Rachel right now talking about this, get out of your own bloody way and just take the risk, because everybody is going to feel the same. And I particularly love working with beginners. In fact, that's like my thing, watching somebody just open up like a rose and going, I can. Oh, and then at the end of the day, going, right, I'm going to join a choir. I'm going to go and do karaoke. And it's like a flip. It's hilarious to watch because I know it's going to happen. It's brilliant. And the friendship all these women are going to make as well, Rachel.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not just about the singing is a massive part of it, but it's so much more than that. It's about going back to community. It's about finding your tribe. And the only way you do that is by stepping out of your comfort zone, saying yes to new opportunities, meeting different people, sharing your stories, but all coming together in one common thread, which will be learning 3 songs and performing at the end of the day, which is... I can't wait. Not hold it.
And didn't we say as well, we're going to involve everybody in the choice, aren't we?
We are, yes.
To make it really personal.
Once you've signed up, we're going to get you into a WhatsApp group so you can start introducing yourself, so you're not going to be completely thrown into the deep end. You are going to know names, and it's going to be a place where you can choose. We're going to narrow it down to some songs that you can choose that mean, because we want the songs to mean something to them.
And there'll be some which I think predictably people will want to choose because they're empowering, you know, and it's really important for me that we sing something that we connect to.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's a bit like going on stage and playing a role that you maybe don't like. You know, there's something so emotionally connecting when you sing something and the lyrics really, really mean something to you. You know, it's like at the Widows Choir, one of the songs we're doing is something that the people that have organised, it was played at the funeral. You know, and we all have a relationship with songs, don't we?
Yeah.
We footballers chant. I mean, God, how powerful is that? You know, when you see largely a bunch of men, really emotional, fired up, singing something for the ball team, you know, that they're gunning for. We sing at weddings, we sing at birthday parties, we sing at graduations. You know, when I did my master's degree, which was in Wales, everybody sang, and my partner Paul is Welsh, and everybody sat there going, I can't even read this. And Paul, my partner, was the one person that started singing in Welsh, and I just cried because, you know, the male voice choir was such a gorgeous thing, and we've all got our tastes in music, and I just can't wait. I can't wait to get a whole room of people, including you, Rachel, singing.
This is going to be happening, and if I get this date wrong, shout, Sophie, because my menopause
will go on the diary.
It is Saturday, the 20th of April, and it's happening at St. George's Crypt in Leeds. So it's going to be a full day, but we will be performing at the end of the day. You will have lunch, and I will leave all the details on the show notes, but you will be hearing lots more from Sophie and I about this. We're going to be doing some lives. We're going to be talking more about it, but I cannot wait to collaborate with you. This is going to be such an amazing day, really special. And just what a brilliant way to get women together to build confidence and to get them to just take ownership of themselves and really have fill the space that they
yes.
should be taking.
And women empowering other women, which there's nothing more beautiful. Yeah. You know, I frequently walk down the street and go, you look so hot in that, you know, I'm straight, but, and they'll be like, oh, wow, thanks, you know, or God, I love that outfit. And that can change someone's day. And we don't do that enough with each other. So no. Seeing all these women come together and, you know, looking at each other going, I'm nervous. Are you nervous? Yeah, I am. And me going, but don't worry, it will be fine.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's perfectly leading on to my last few questions, Sophie, because my last question that I ask all my guests is, if you were to pay yourself a compliment, what would it be?
Oh, my God. Oh, God, Rachel.
It's easy for other people, but not quite so easy for yourself.
Okay. A compliment about myself. I am so generous with my emotional support.
Well, as one of your friends, I will definitely go along with that one. That's
lovely. Oh, thank you. I might get to stay over with you before I go all the way back.
Can't wait. And my last question, liberty, free to be, what does that mean to you?
It means to show the world the authentic, vulnerable me. And it's quite timely at the moment because I'm 50 in numerology. Is the beginning and the end. Numerology goes in sevens in terms of our life. So 50 is a really poignant time because it's the end and the beginning of a cycle. And I'm really feeling I'm coming out of a bit of a chrysalis and there's a vulnerability and a rawness, but a real sense of empowerment. I'm really becoming the woman that I need to be. So it would be that showing myself to the world in all my vulnerability. And that's brave, you know?
Brave. And you're going to be helping other women do that as well. I mean, how can people find you on social media?
Okay. So go to sophiegarner.com, Sophie Garner Singer on Facebook, and Sophie Garner 1 on Insta. They're my kind of two main social network groups, but sophiegarner.com website. And I'm happy to answer any questions. I want people to, you know, if they're like on the verge of wanting to do this with you and I, and they're like, oh, but I need to ask a question. However stupid you think a question is,
yes,
it won't be stupid to me because it's, you know, this is what I do for a living. But for all of the people out there, they're going to be like, but this is all new to me. Just step, get out of your own way, take the step, because everybody is going to feel the same on that day. So you're all in the boat together.
I can't wait. Thank you so much. See you as always.
Love you too.
Well, that's it for another week on Liberty Free to Be. I hope you have found that inspiring. I cannot wait to get this group of women together to build a choir for the day using Sophie's expertise. She's amazing. I've seen her in action. But how empowering will it be to see a room full of women all singing, learning songs together and then performing live? And I'm going to take part two and I'm going to be sharing all about how I build my own confidence. And as I said, it didn't come from dieting. It didn't come from exercise. It came from saying yes to life and trying new experiences and new activities. So I can't wait to share that with you all. So that is happening again on Saturday, the 20th of April, and it will be going live. Tickets are available and it'll be shared across all our socials. You will be seeing it everywhere. So if you would like to come and join us, then please do. We would love to see you there. And I hope if anything else you take away from this episode, that reminder that it's great to be creative and how important it is to give yourself, allow yourself time to find what lights you up and be creative and add that into your daily and your weekly routine, because it's so good for our mental well-being. I'll be back in a fortnight, but in the meantime, keep being fabulous.
Thank you for listening to the Liberty Free to Be podcast. I hope it's left you feeling inspired. If it has, why not join the free Liberty Lifestyle Hub over on Facebook? With over 300 women all at different stages of midlife, making new connections and supporting one another. Don't forget to come and say hello at Liberty Free to Be on Instagram. I'd love to know what free to be means to you. If you're loving the podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate and leave a review. Your support is much appreciated. I'll be back in a fortnight, but in the meantime, keep being fabulous.